Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Dawn B., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Southern California. Today is Friday, February 10th, 2023, the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book, and we're at page 60, the first paragraph, Many of Us Exclaimed, Ending Spiritual Progress Rather Than Spiritual Perfection, reading and commenting on that one paragraph only. Today's readers, 12 Steps, Alex K., 12 Traditions, Deb E., readers of the text, Lois P., Jordan L., and Elaine B. The reference number for Thursday, February 9th, 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 19,948. That's 19948. And for this morning, Friday, February 10th, 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, the reference number is 19,950. That's 19950. Our newcomer greeter this morning is Reggie O., and Shelley E. will do the announcements. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. I'll now ask Alex K. to read the 12 steps of OA.
Thank you, Dawn. This is Alex, recovered compulsive eater in California. The 12 steps. We admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive eaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you. Grateful to do service.
Thank you so much, Alex K. I'll now ask Deb E. to read the 12 traditions of OA.
Good morning. This is Debbie in Montana, a recovering compulsive overeater. And these are the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting others or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA, as such, ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. And I thank you for letting me do service today and pass.
Thank you so much, Deb E. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute, and once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press star 1 to mute your phone. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone, except the speakers, should be muted. Today we resume our study of the Big Book, and we're on page 60, the first paragraph. Many of us exclaimed, ending spiritual progress rather than spiritual perfection. And we're going to be reading and commenting on that one paragraph only today. I will now ask Lois P. to begin reading.
Thank you, Dawn. Good morning, everyone. This is Lois P., gratefully recovered in New York. Many of us exclaimed, "What an order. I can't go through with it." Do not be discouraged. No one among us has been able to maintain anything like perfect adherence to these principles. We are not saints. The point is that we are willing to grow along spiritual lines. The principles we have set down are guides to progress. We claim spiritual progress rather than spiritual perfection. So progress and perfection to me are kind of moving targets, so to speak. I think they're fluid, you know, they're alive. There's no fixed definition of either. But progress for me means movement, becoming unstuck from wherever I am, wanting to change. So progress, moving towards something, perfection, having perhaps attained the wonderful result of that progress. But anyway, for me, I believe we can have both spiritual progress, spiritual perfection at the same time. So let me explain a little bit. So progress for me was small steps, you know, maybe one decision at a time in improving my life. Small things like deciding that I'd really had enough the way things were and I wanted my life to change. That was progress, just the thought. Realizing that I deserved a better life. That was a hard one. Deep down underneath, I think there was a part of me that didn't believe that. So realizing that I did deserve a better life, that thought was just progress. I was moving towards something different. Taking a chance and just listening to the meetings and asking someone to help me and to become my sponsor. That was scary, you know, but again, that was movement. That was coming out of the old life that I was sort of happy but miserable in, and moving towards something new, and being willing to come up very practically with a food plan that I could live with. Again, movement, progress. So these are small but really evolutionary steps that have led me to a happier, more peaceful life, which brings me to the idea of spiritual perfection, which again, for me, is not, you know, a fait accompli. It's not like a state that I arrive at or that I hope to just permanently be in. Rather, taking these smaller progressive steps have, you know, kind of led me to living in a way that I never lived in before, you know, a state of being where I truly have relaxed into life. My emotions have settled because of those spiritual progressive steps that I took. So as a result, you know, my emotions have become settled. You know, I've let go of controlling other people, and I relax into what is, rather than desperately trying to change whatever is around me. So as having found a living relationship, a deeper relationship with contentment, with a sense of I surrender, I give up my life to something much greater, to a deeper reality, to this loving, unconditional, unconditionally present, ever-present, loving, I call the Great Mother, God, has brought about a sense of calm and beauty that I've never experienced before. So for me, that's kind of touching perfection. And, you know, I believe it's available for all of us. So thank you for the opportunity to share it. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Lois P., for getting us started. I'm now going to take the names of people who would like to share on this paragraph. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. So who would like to share with us?
Irene B.
Elaine G.
Elaine G. and Irene B. And who is that other name? Who is
Ann
the other?
Ann B.
Terry N.
Cheryl S.
Okay,
Jordan
I have Jordan L. Okay, I have Elaine B. I'm sorry. Irene B., Elaine G., Ann B., Terry N., Cheryl S., Jordan L. Let's go with that lineup. And Irene B., please get us started.
Good morning, all. Thank you so much for your service. I'm Irene B., a very grateful recovered bulimic from Louisiana. For some reason, I've read that paragraph, and as usual, sometimes I have this experience that it's like I've never read it before. I can't do this. I remember feeling that way, especially when I realized what step three meant was to surrender to God, to give up the control. It's like, I don't know how to do that. I have no idea how to do that. And to, just astonishing. And what I'm so happy to have and to be experiencing and that I will experience for the rest of my days, that progress, not perfection, to me, it means the layers of the onion. You know, this onion just gets getting peeled over and over again. And, okay, this layer is done. Okay, I'm done. It's like, no, there's another layer. And that layer gets undone. And then it's like, oh, there's another layer. And it's like it never ends. And, you know, I've gone through this step, I don't know how many times, multiple times. And I've had to search deep and wide to get to the root causes of my disorder. And my disorder, you know, the food was totally the solution to my problem. But the food had become my problem again. And another lady who is like 20 years older than me said that she had lost 75 pounds. So when the meeting was over, I called her and said, how did you do that? It's like, my gosh, you know, I thought I couldn't lose weight because I've put on 20 pounds over the last 2 years. And I'm not eating compulsively, just eating a little bit too much, a little bit at a time. I stopped exercising and the cortisol from the stress that where I'm in, I put on 20 pounds. And I couldn't shake them down. So I asked, how'd you do it? And she said, well, I just went back to my first love. I went in search of my first love. OMG. I have never asked a person about their food, and their reply was God. God was the answer. And when I heard that the program has a solution, I thought it was just lip service, just something you say, just an expression. And the deeper I go into this thing called life, not being disconnected and disassociated and feeling my feelings, the more I realize that
time.
My one and only solution is God, and I can find him here. With that, I pass. Thank you guys so much.
Thank you, Irene B. Elaine G., please share with us, followed by Ann B.
Hi, your mommy. I'm Elaine G. from New York. Talking about I can't do it, I mean, I feel like as long as I compulsively eat, which has been a lot, I keep on saying, oh, God, this is getting really hard. This is really getting hard. But meanwhile, am I putting in all the effort? No. I'm doing my own will over here, you know? And I'm looking for a therapist, and I'm saying to myself, I'm finding this complicated. I got to try out every therapist here. Oh, God. And this one takes Medicare. The other one doesn't, but she seems like a better one. I mean, like, so everything seems, like, complicated and overwhelming. So I'm glad I'm on here because I really do. I got to do a lot of praying, you know, that I give up my will and do God's will, you know. And then I think, I know that it'll become easier. Thanks.
Thank you so much, Elaine G. from New York. Ann B., please share with us, followed by Terry N. Star 1 and B.
Hello, this is, I was taking a moment to unmute and turn off the speaker. This is Ann B. I'm a compulsive overeater from Westchester United Intergroup in New York. I don't like that word recovered, but I have been abstinent for 18 years. And what came to mind when I was reading this passage was that I think program has taught me a different kind of behavior modification technique from what I grew up with. I grew up with this very harsh, hypercritical, perfectionist father. And basically, he modeled to me a very harsh parenting technique, right, where I learned the way to get Anne to change her behavior is to beat her up. Not physically, he wasn't that violent, but he was just harsh verbally and with volume, loud volume. And so I learned this behavior modification of technique of if my behavior doesn't satisfy me, I beat myself up. And that really doesn't work, especially with compulsive overeating. And the behavior modification technique that I learned in program is I pray to my higher power and say, look, I'm not happy with my behavior. Please help me. And then I surrender and let my higher power come as a gentle intuition, a still small voice in my head, a loving voice. Not, Anne, you're bad, but suddenly the inspiration comes as this intuition out of some deep place within inside of me. And it just seems, oh, I can stop. And it feels like a miracle. It's like suddenly I become somebody else. Suddenly my behavior isn't what it was. Suddenly my behavior is what I would like it to be, but I couldn't force myself to make it. But it happened because I let go, because I didn't try to do what my father taught me to do, which is beat myself up. And instead, I prayed. Instead, and I said, if it's your will, God, please help me. And all sorts of transformations have happened, not only stopping compulsive overeating, but becoming more socially related, trusting other people more, smiling more, making more eye contact. All the sorts of things have have happened because I worked the steps that have been really positive, and I've become an artist, you know. Okay, thanks. So anyway, that's what that paragraph says to me. I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Ann B. from New York. Terry N., please share with us, followed by Cheryl S.
Hi, this is Carrie N., Orange County, California. And thank you so much for the meeting. I realized today when I was talking to my sponsor, this part in the reading that says, the point is that we are willing to grow along spiritual lines. And the most remarkable things have happened to me since I've been in OA, and that was back in October 5th of 2010. And today is my weigh day, so I got to write down how much I weigh today. And it's just blows my mind that I no longer weigh 305 pounds. And remarkable things have happened. But the most remarkable thing, which I've never been able to say out loud to anybody before, except my sponsor and I just had this conversation, was that on that day where I started reading the big book and hearing about the spiritual nature of this program, I didn't shy away. I had been an agnostic, and I just read it, and this is going to be interesting. This has to do with a power greater than myself. And the remarkable part that is such a stake in the sand is that for some reason my mind just said, oh, wow, that'll be interesting. And then from that point forward, I started using the verbiage of a power greater than myself. I started admitting that remarkable things are happening to me because of a power greater than myself. People at work came up to me and they said to me, gosh, you are doing so good. And I actually said right out loud to them, I said, you know what? I'm doing the 12-step thing, and it ends up to be a power greater than myself. And I just jumped in that water of finding out what that is for myself. And that is the most remarkable thing that has happened to me and today I get to have a newfound experience of that faith and that understanding and that willingness and that knowledge of that, yeah, it's just new. And so when you read, the point is that we are willing to grow along spiritual lines, that is the most remarkable part of my life. And life is so remarkable, but just for today, I'm going to get in that pink cloud of, hey, I don't have to do it alone. There's a power greater than me. And super grateful. So you guys, thanks so much. I pass.
Thank you, Carrie N. from California. And if you're just joining us, we're on page 60. We're talking about that first paragraph, starts with many of us exclaimed, ending with spiritual progress rather than spiritual perfection. So after Cheryl S. and followed by Jordan L. shares, I'm going to open up the lines to take more names for people who would like to share on this paragraph. So Cheryl S., please share with us.
Thank you. Good morning. This is Cheryl S. from Nevada, almost a recovered compulsive overeater. I'm on step 12. And I just want to say this paragraph gives me so much hope. You know, after reading those steps and thinking of all the things that I need to do, it was overwhelming. But then reading this paragraph, and it's like, it's okay. I get to work at this thing. And I can tell you that there is something inside of me that compels me to do everything perfectly. And I can also tell you that I have a 100% fail rate at that objective. And but I don't have to be perfect. And I can just I can take this one day at a time. I can do the things that that my sponsor, the assignments my sponsor gives me. I can listen to her feedback. I'm always just absolutely amazed that I have this program and that I have the opportunity to grow one day at a time. And I'm going to claim spiritual progress for my life today. And I thank you for letting me share.
Thank you so much, Cheryl S. from Nevada. Thank you, Cheryl. Jordan L., please share with us, and then I'll be taking some more names.
Hey, good morning, Dawn. Thank you for moderating for us. My name is Jordan L. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Gunnison, Colorado, and I'm very grateful to be abstinent and on a meeting of Overeaters Anonymous this morning. Many of us exclaimed, "What in order? I can't go through with it." I was like, the first time I read this, I was like, "What in order? Why would I want to go through with this?" But that's where I was at. And the good news is, first, we work this one step at a time. It's very important to be on the step that you're on. And not looking ahead, as most compulsive overeaters like to do. and the other important thing is that we've had a spiritual awakening. We've had a spiritual awakening. Like, we've had a complete personality overhaul, you know? We really do. Like, my experience is when you work these steps honestly from, like, a very, very raw, vulnerable place, you emerge from these steps a different person, and you operate from a very different place. for me, it was a very different place than I had ever operated from, and so that's the only reason that, if, like, on the other side of this, I concur with this bit about do not be discouraged. We definitely are not saints. And the point is that we're willing to grow along spiritual lines. That's what I'm willing to do today, right? Like, I'm willing to grow. I'm willing to continue to grow. And it's only when I look back, like, after doing this for a while, I look back, I take some time to reflect, and I look back at what my life looked like in 2009 when I walked into AA, and then what my life looked like in 2013 when I walked into OA, and then what my life looked like 2017 when I finally got abstinent, and what it looks like now, you know? And I see that evidence in my own experience, and I'm like, God damn, it really has been a spiritual awakening, you know? Like, my brain operates very differently today, and I'm very grateful for that, and I have all of you to thank for being a part of this experience with me. That's it. I pass.
Thank you so much, Jordan L. from Colorado. I'm now going to open up the line to take the names of people who would like to share in this paragraph. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. So who would like to share?
Debbie P. from Indiana.
From Pennsylvania.
Okay, I heard Debbie P. And who is from Pennsylvania?
Pamela P.
Pamela P. And who else did I miss besides Debbie P. and Pamela P.?
Danielle W.
Danielle W.
Alex
and
A.
Who? Alex A.
KCM.
Stacy K.
And Stacy K. Let's stop there. Okay, I have Debbie P., Pamela P., Danielle, Alex A., Cassie M., and or KCM and Stacy K. Debbie P., please get us started.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you. Oh, sorry. This is Debbie P. from Indiana, recovered compulsive overeater. And yeah, I agree with that sentence. What an order. I can't go through with it. How many years did I not go through with it? There is a lot of work, and I just didn't want to do it. So, you know, half measures availed me nothing. However, now I have hit a 1-year abstinent mark, and I am not perfect at it. I have a lot more spiritual principles, and I look to my higher power for guidance more than I don't. And that's progress. Perfection would be, you know, doing it all the time, which that's what I started this program thinking. That's how I'm going to have to live my life from now on, is all the time doing what my higher power says, and I would be a saint. Well, I am far from being a saint, but I am a lot better off than I was before being abstinent and recovered in this program. Everything I have been told, everything in this book is a suggestion. If I choose to take those suggestions, I'm going to get better. If I choose not to, I will not. And, you know, that's been my experience up until this last year. And again, it's a lot of work to get through those steps, but it's so well worth it. You know, with the help and support of people on this meeting and in the program, I mean, I couldn't have done it. And, you know, even though I was saying, ha, I can't go through with it, many people were telling me, you know what, it's okay. When you're ready, you're ready. You'll know it. So do not be discouraged. I was discouraged a lot. But, you know, one day I just got so discouraged and so fed up with how my life was. I said, huh, you know what? I know this thing works. I see it every day. I can put in my 100% and I can get what everybody else has. I can get recovered. I can get sanity. And so I'm grateful that my higher power saw fit to give me that seed of other people planting the seed in my head for me so that I know, hey, there's some place to go when I'm ready. So thank you for letting me share, and I'll pass.
Thank you, Debbie P. from Indiana, and congratulations on your 1 year. Pamela P., please share with us, followed by Danielle.
Hi, this is Pamela P. for Pennsylvania. God bless everyone. So, yeah, so I know I got to put over 100% each day if I want to live, because having relapse, it was very scary. I just recently got back in recovery. I lost my recovery late December, and I just got it back. I thank God for God, number one. I thank God for my partner, because without him, I don't know how we had make it. I thank God for my sponsor, See Awesome, and the fellowship between OA and Vision for You. So I'm really trying. It is scary, this disease. It like every minute, the thought of foods are coming in sometimes. Like, I just ate a steak dressing, and I got a whole on to 12, and I ate, I think it's 7:20 or 7:15 this morning, and I took time eating slowly, and I got a whole on to 12. I can't have one bite before 12 noon to prepare my lunch, and it's scary in between the meals. And so, you know, working the step, I currently on step 10 with my sponsor. And, you know, working through my feeling and keeping to my safe food, and eating my safe food could become dangerous sometimes. So I'm just praying to God just for today. Just don't take that first bite. There's no reason. And now I got to change my food plan, make it a little more restricted. So I really want to continue on trying to lose a little more weight at a certain time. I know it's not about the weight, but it is about the weight with me. The spiritual dynamics do come from the program, mentally, emotionally, spiritually. But the physical dynamic is very important. So I'm just praying to God. I just enjoy life in between the meal. And don't make the food thought take over. And anything that could take away my recovery, I'm going to tackle it at that time. I can't let it just go and grow and grow. So please pray for me and pray for y'all. It's a WE program. And God love us. wherever we are in this program, God will always love us. I pass.
Thank you, Pamela P. from Pennsylvania. Danielle, please share with us, followed by Alex A.
Good morning. Thank you so much. This is Danielle W. from Southern California, recovered but not cured. You know, prior to coming into program, life was really all or nothing for me. I had to be perfect or I was a complete failure. And it was such an extreme way of living. There was nothing gentle about it or compassionate or accepting. And, you know, this paragraph, while it's referring to our spiritual progress, I've tried to apply it in other areas of my life that, you know, I don't have to be perfect. I'm allowed to make mistakes. I'm allowed to struggle. I'm allowed to, you know, try things even if they don't go as planned. And when it comes to my program, what I love is, you know, nobody, it's not like taking a class. And nobody is saying you're going to be graded on the work you're doing or it has to be completed in a certain amount of time. You know, we get to move through these steps guided by a higher power, you know, alongside a sponsor in the way, sorry, that's my husky talking, in the way that works for us. And the beauty of it is that I just have to make progress, sometimes a little, sometimes a lot. It's never going to be perfect. That's okay. And I can look back, you know, sometimes when I feel like maybe I'm a little stagnant, I can look back and see how far I've come and how grateful I am for this program and that there's always more to be revealed. With that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Danielle W. from California. Alex A., please share with us, followed by Cassie M.
Thank you. Hi, everyone. This is Alex K. in California, recovering compulsive eater. Being a recovering perfectionist, having years of experience of expecting myself to be perfect and beating myself up for not being perfect, it was a relief to hear progress, not perfection. And, of course, it's impossible to be perfect, but with help I can make progress little by little. It's my self-will and my defect that demands perfection, demands the impossible, and I see that pattern in a lot of areas in my life, expecting myself to do the impossible and then feeling like a failure because I can't do it. And I know my higher power doesn't expect perfection, only encourages me to try my best. And it's a much more loving, gentle approach. So grateful I don't have to put that pressure on myself of unrealistic expectations today. It's just one example of the progress and how the steps, my higher power, are transforming my life and my thinking. And seeing progress inspires me to keep coming back and trying my best and relying on my higher power, not my self-will and defects, to make progress, because that never worked. I can't beat myself up into changing. But with the love of my higher power, I learned to love myself, and that works a lot better to make progress and change and heal. Thanks, everyone.
Thank you, Alex K. from California. Cassie M., please share with us, followed by Stacy K.
Hi, this is Casey, actually. I just wanted to thank everybody for their shares. I woke up with a lot of anxiety this morning, and the first thing I did was get on a meeting. I'm trying to work the steps, and I haven't completed step four yet, and I think that's what a lot of my anxiety comes from. But, again, working the steps, trying to get on a meeting, or actually getting on a meeting, listening to you all is calming. I just would like to have some prayers for me for to end this anxiety, because I'm trying to surrender and it's hard to surrender, and I'm just feeling a little uneasy right now. So with that, I will pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Casey M. And did you mention where you're calling from, Casey?
I'm from Phoenix, Arizona.
Oh, thank you. Stacy K., please share with us.
Good morning, everybody. This is Stacey Kay in Colorado. Happy to be here. I just want to thank everybody for their service and the shares. And when I heard the reading today, I was mostly thinking about this spiritual progress and what that looks like in my life. And, you know, of course, it starts with those first three steps before here and about this powerlessness and needing a power. And then in the second step, when I make that choice that God is everything, it seemed pretty simple. You know, of course I'm going to answer yes, God is everything. Because when I think about what if God is nothing, it's really a scary thing. And the same thing with that third step decision, right? When I turn my life and my will over to care of God, I'm going to do that. When I'm in these steps, I just, in the bottom of my heart, in that moment, I'm going to turn my life and my will over to care of God. And I think that's key. You know, when we make that choice that God is everything and we make that decision to turn our life and our will over to care of God, I have to keep it simple, especially when I'm new, that this means doing the next step, the next right thing, because God is only right here, right now. God is not in my future. I can't, like, I can say that I'm in it. I'm going to continue. And I have continued, and I have stayed, and I've seen this spiritual progress, right? But it's kind of a tricky thing because I have to do that every day, right here, right now. I have to know that, you know, my will and my life is, you know, I have to turn that over to God. And all of it, all things, as Bill says in his story, right? Like, it's easy for me to want to pick and choose, like about my son and where he's at, or the cancer that I went through, or what my husband is going through now with his health challenges. You know, sometimes fear is still going to crop up, right? Like, I am not, like, this spiritually perfect. I am not God. Like, I still go back and think that self-reliance will work this time when fear crops up. Or maybe, you know, cop in a resentment that's going to, you know, solve my fear problem. There's only one place to go for me today. I know that's my solution. So I'm just grateful to kind of know that. And also know that I am human and far from perfect,
time.
Especially, thank you, especially when it comes to God. So that's all I got. Thanks.
Thank you, Stacey K. from Colorado. And I'll take two more names. So if there's anyone who said their name previously that I didn't hear, or someone who would like to share.
Kim A.
Kim A.
Freya H.
Freya H. So Kim A, please get us started, followed by Freya H.
Thanks. I came on late, so I'm not actually positive of what exactly which paragraph was read, but I hear a lot of people talking about step three. And I used to get hung up on step three for like months and months because, of course, like, I wanted to turn my will and my life over to the care of a higher power, but how did I do that? Like, what was that about? What did that mean? And then I would ponder it for a long time, and then I would, like, try to do it. And it never worked. And I really didn't know why. But now, many years later, I've worked the steps, you know, quickly with the guidance of a sponsor, exactly as they're written in the big book. And now I understand that the steps are written to help us learn how to do that. All that is a decision. Am I or am I not willing to go on with the steps so that I can learn how to turn my will and my action, or my will and my life, which are, you know, my thoughts and my actions, over to the care of a higher power. And then, you know, it says after they talk about step three in the big book, it says next we launched, I don't know the exact words after that, but next we launched ourselves into action with step four. It doesn't say we, you know, dipped our toe in. It doesn't say that we, like, kind of tried to do it. It says that we launched into action, because making that decision to turn my will and my life over to my higher power, that's great and everything, but unless that's followed up with the actions that will teach me how to do that, it's kind of like a useless decision. Thanks. This is Kim A. from New York City.
Thank you, Kim A. And just a quick reminder, we're on page 60, the first paragraph. Many of us exclaimed that one paragraph only. Freya H., please share with us.
Thank you so much, Freya H., recovered compulsive eater bulimic restrictor. I'm in Colorado. Thanks, everybody, for your shares and your service. We've just read through these 12 steps and spent, you know, like a week in this meeting going over them. And now, you know, we're coming down to reality. You know, I love this, the practical, no-nonsense language in this paragraph where it's like, hey, none of us are gonna do this perfectly, but that doesn't mean don't do it. And one of the biggest hang-ups for me was thinking, I got to do this on my own power. You know, that was all I knew. I didn't even have a concept of not doing that. So that was my assumption that I'm expected to do this stuff. And of course I can't go through with it. And so as a perfectionist, you know, if I can't do it perfectly, I'm not going to do it at all. And so this is so reassuring. It's saying, hey, all we have to do is be willing to grow along these spiritual lines. You know, that these are guides to progress. These are, you know, helpful, you know, this is our path. And we're just going to, you know, we're going to stumble and fumble, and that's okay. You know, but if we are willing to do it, we are going to grow along spiritual lines. And that is such a beautiful promise. And I just love, you know, I heard progress, not perfection, out of context for a long time before I was familiar with this book. So I'm so glad to read this and to see it in context. You know, it's not saying, you know, that you can just, you know, half-ass it, or, you know, it's an excuse for complacency. It's saying that I can accept myself and that God will accept me and help me wherever I am. You know, I just get to show up and say, okay, God, you know, here I am, and I'm, you know, what do you want to show me today? And that includes, it includes accepting my imperfection, because that's actually what makes me more useful. That's the message I get again and again. I am more useful because I just show up and keep trying, not because, you know, I got it the first time. So thank you so much. I'm going to pass.
Thank you so much, Freya H. from Colorado. Thank you to everyone who shared. And if you're new, please stick around, because we're going to be offering a time for newcomers to announce their names and numbers and also sponsors. And we're now going to close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Jordan L. please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only. Star 1, Jordan.
I am here. I am so sorry. I did not open the mic in just a moment. There it is, 164. Okay. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. Excuse me. We realize that we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us.
Jordan, we're having a problem hearing you. If you could make an adjustment there so we could hear what you're saying a little bit more clearly.
I cannot.
Oh, there you go.
I am off speaker, and I don't have headphones on, so you can
hear
me okay?
You're fine now. Yep, you're fine
now.
Thanks so much.
Okay. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.